Triple M's Big Breakfast for Australia's biggest ever bike sale at Team Moto Motorcycles. Save up to $7,000 on over 250 models of bikes. TeamMoto.com.au.
Hello there. Welcome to the catch up. It's a beautiful looking Friday. It was a great show as well. A really fiery discussion for Can of Worms today, Robin.
Oh, yeah. The blokes took each other on. It was all about the cabbies and whether cabbies deserve compensation. Got fairly feisty in here.
I'll never forgive them for charging me $75 for that spew.
Oh, is that what that was about?
I love the men that sit on those beaded seat covers and ignore all personal hygiene. I'm right behind them all the way. Not only are they on the streets of Brisbane, but I'm also on the streets of Brisbane, getting out there, asking people what they think. And I ran into the showbiz reporter we thought was dead, Bobby Shriekman. Unbelievable.
And one of the most beautiful stories is the helping hand, lend a hand we're doing for Henry to get him home, the little three-year-old, and it took another step towards actually getting him home before Christmas.
Enjoy the catch-up. Make sure you subscribe.
I like to keep my finger on the pulse and find out what Brisbane's thinking and feeling. So I get out there, I hit the street, and I speak to people from Brisbane.
Street Talk with the Moon Man. Street Talk.
Hi, this is the Moon Man, and I've decided to hit the streets of Brisbane to find out which issue in this great city has mattered most to you this week. Today, I find myself in one of this town's most colourful areas, Fortitude Valley, where there's no end to celebrity spotting. Wow, there's Rusty Crowe. Hey, Russ, what issues mattered to you most this week?
G'day, Moon Man. Well, you've really stacked it on, haven't you? Are you auditioning for the lead role in the Mikey Robbins story, Sweating Behind the Mic? Oh, come on, Russ, let's stick to the issues. Okay, gotcha. Well, the big issue for me will be whether Wayne bucks the Broncos or whether they buck him. That's buck. But either way, I'd like to see Wayne coaching the Rabbitohs by the start of next year. And if Wayne can't come across, I'm in talks with Clint Eastwood to fill in for a year. Hi, pants.
Thanks, Russ. Hey, there's Shane Bourne. Oi, Bourney, what's Brisbane's biggest issue this week?
Ah, the big issue, Moon Man. It's a magazine sold by the homeless in an attempt to provide work, dignity and an income. Bang! Got him on the way through. Ow! For me, the big one was the homecoming and transiting of Renee Lawrence after 13 years in Kiribati Hono prison. Oh, my God. I thought she looked terrific, but she made the fashion faux pas of double denim. Moon, what's she doing? Come on, Renee. I'd like to see her dancing on Dancing with the Stars, though. Dancing with the Stars, doing the Wahatusi or the mashed potato. Got to run, champion.
Oh, my God. Is that Bobby Shriekman? It can't be. Bobby. It is. It's Bobby Shriekman, the long-lost Big Breakfast showbiz reporter. Bobby, where have you been?
Moon Man. Hello to all of you on the Big Brekkie. Robin, Mardo, and you, young Brando. Oh, I slipped on a soapy loofah and cracked my head open. I've been staying at Christopher Pine's place recuperating, but I'm still in showbiz, Dale. Still in it.
So what's Brisbane's biggest issue of the week, Bobby?
Well, I don't often get involved in politics, but the Lady Salento Children's Hospital needs to be left alone. The idea of renaming it's driving me mad. Why don't we rename you Anastasia Palachuk? Lady Salento. She's an ornament, and long let her name stand. Now I've got to go and vacuum me schnauzer. Moon.
There's Matthias Cormann. Let's get one last comment. Matthias, what's your issue of the week?
Hello, Moon Man. Well, we look like brothers, don't we? We both got a square head, but I look younger than you do. Anyway, my issue of the week is Australia versus India at the Gobba.
I think it's pronounced the Gabba.
Yeah, that's what I said, the Gobba. I think it was a real celebration of cricket, multiculturalism and the Indian community. And, of course, finally, we won in what was a wonderful spectacular. And that does a lot of W's in that one sentence, wasn't it?
Well, there it is, folks, for another week. The issues that matter to you in Brisbane in Street Talk. I'm the Moon.
Wow. I thought Bobby Shriekman was dead.
Nope.
That's incredible.
Alive.
He lives.
Bobby's alive.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
The Big Breakfast's Can of Worms.
The Queensland government is facing the biggest ever lawsuit in Australian history. Taxi licence owners are mobilising for an unprecedented $1 billion class action, claiming their lives have been ripped apart by the legalisation of the ride-sharing industry.
So,
here.
Question is...
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Do they deserve compensation? Why do you say, oh, no, you were a cab driver?
I know.
I was a cab driver too. I got my licence... Now, I reckon the cab industry has dragged their feet for a long time and they copped an absolute sucker punch from Uber.
That's right.
But the government has been
rorting, I mean gouging, millions of dollars out of these people and then let something unregulated come in and destroy what they've put the price on? Yes, they should be compensated. Absolutely they should be.
You're part of the culture of blame. You want to blame people. This was quite simply a business decision and they've been usurped by a business that's better than them. And that's why companies disappear all the time because they didn't keep up with the times. I love I love all my fellow cab drivers, but quite simply, not many of these people who own the licenses still drive the cabs. They did it. They were businessmen who bought, some of them owned 30, some of them owned 100.
And they were worth $500,000.
You're allowed to do that. But they paid the license fee to a government who put a premium price on it, set that price, and then let a bunch of people come in from San Francisco and just go, do you know what? We've got no regard for your law.
You can't stop it.
Okay, you can't stop it.
You can't stop it. Every city in the world.
You're part of this argument, aren't you? What? Oh, when they brought the car in, did they compensate everyone that owned a coach and horse?
That's right.
No, they didn't. Why? Because they weren't regulated.
No. Hold on. This has happened. You cannot stop it. It's no use suing somebody and suing a government. You never win doing that.
No.
Because this has happened in every city in the world.
They will win this.
Young bloke staying in our place at the moment. He's from Montreal. He told me he reckons that only in New York, San Francisco and London are there cabs. This is nearly everywhere in the world. Cabs have gone. And if you were a businessman who owned 4 cab licenses, it was worth $2 million. That woman last night, I saw her.
She had 6.
She had 6, right. So she had $3 million in her back pocket at one stage, probably worth, I don't know, $400,000 now. All right,
she's taking a loan out to start a small business and then gets just completely
the rug pulled
by the government.
I feel sorry for them, but quite simply, they shouldn't be compensated.
They should be compensated.
Okay.
They made a bad business decision and a lot of people have done that and gone broke over the years.
I'm going to blow a whistle, you two. You've both had your sides. Do cabbies deserve compensation? Which side of this can of worms do you come down on? Give us a call. Andy of Stapleton, do you think cabbies should be compensated?
No way. They should suck it up, princess. I agree with Mardo. They made a business decision.
Andy.
They made the wrong one. I had a business in Coffs, was very successful, made a couple of wrong decisions, had a bad accountant, lost a lot of money. I didn't even contemplate compensation. I picked myself up and moved on.
And went again. Andy, I'm in the same boat. Maybe it's anger and bitterness that's driving the pair of us.
So a couple of angry bankrupts get together
yeah,
and agree
right.
with each other.
Great, what a party that'd be. Tony of Ipswich.
Shut up.
Yeah, it'd go something like that. Cabbies deserve compensation. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I think they should every day of the week. Mardo, it's like, mate, you got to go and get a... you know, do your training to be a chippy for 4 years, mate, and then you get handymen who come in, they can't do any work over, you know, QBCC. If they were to come in and do work without being formally trained, mate.
I see your point.
You'd be jumping up and down, mate, yeah.
Hit him right between the eyes with a chisel there, Tony, I tell you what.
The
good on you.
Jugular.
No, it's true because they charge you it's nearly up to $400 now to keep your licence every year and they let other people do your job. That's a good point.
Scott of Parkinson, do you think cabbies should be compensated?
No, I don't think they should be compensated. If you jump into a cab and sit in the front seat, they have stickers and plaques all over the front dash about how they actually charge a cost. And that costing is charged per kilometre.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pull up at a red light, the meter does not stop ticking, which means they're no longer charging you per kilometre, they're charging you per time.
It's kilometre and time, I think, calibrated together.
Yeah.
No one knows the mystery.
It's not on their stickers about time, it's only about distance.
Oh.
Nobody knows about the mysteries of a taxi meter. Why sometimes you get in and it's $7.80, other times it's $3.20. You just roll the dice, mate.
Well, there must be a lot of angry, bankrupt, bitter people like you out there, Marto, because 80% say cabbies should not receive compensation.
Thank you to all the failed small business people for calling you.
Oh,
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Lend a hand.
We are in week 2 of helping little Henry. He's a 3-year-old boy who's been in the Lady Salento Children's Hospital for over 6 months. Started out as a happy-go-lucky kid. His parents thought he got the flu, but it was actually a virus. He's now in a wheelchair on a ventilator. Needs to get home for Christmas, but the only way that can happen is if their house that they've had to buy in Kamira is done up so that they can bring a wheelchair home.
This came from nowhere and it's blossomed into quite an amazing building project out of Kamira. They found the house, her, Jeannie's mum and dad, sold their dairy. It's been an amazing story all through. They sold their dairy, sold their business so they could buy this house and there's a granny flat at the back for their parents to live in. Oh, my God. But they've got to get all the ramps and get everything set up. And everyone's responded so magnificently. Yeah. Can I give one final wrap? When you think, God, how do people get involved? Like, what was their thinking last Monday? Only last Monday is when we started, when we put the call out, and straight away these were some of the first people. It was Rob from S&R Concreting, okay? And they have been a huge part. You know, that slab at the front and back are both incredible. This is why Rob got involved.
Well, I heard it on the radio, and then I spoke to my wife, Suze, the other half of the business.
Oh, that's the S in the S&R.
That's the S&R.
Righto, yeah.
And we both decided, why not? We've got free time. We'll come out and help. A couple of hours out of my day, no problem. I knew it was only going to take a couple of hours to knock it over.
A couple of hours. It took half a day, you know, and, yeah, and half a day is a full day for a concreter, and that's he's lost a whole day. No, and he didn't give a stuff about that. No. He said, yes, we're busy, but this was important.
Like so many other people, Marto and Robin, who have donated either product or their time, Joe from Electract installed the aircon in Henry's bedroom yesterday, which is in and ready to go. Anthony from Monaghan Signs is putting a train decal on the wall in Henry's room, which is gorgeous. So we're trying to get little Henry home for Christmas. He's definitely going to get home for Christmas, and so much else is happening. Calvin from Cal's Construction put in a steel beam to reinforce the block wall so we could build the ramp into the bathroom.
Hold on, we got Rog. Roger's our project manager, and we can't give you enough raps, Rog, for you stepping in, which you know meant that you're the only reason this can completely take out, and you've got the respect of every tradesman there. Hello, Rog.
Morning, mate. How are you?
Yeah, well done, mate. Yesterday, I didn't know the aircon went in, hey?
Aircon in Henry's room's all done, working, beautiful.
So where are we up to now? What happens today?
Tiling's complete in the bathroom.
Oh, Don and Tom, what a good pair of men those two are. Don and Tom, God, from Impervium. What's the name of their company? Impervium, I think it is.
Impervium, yeah. And carport, we've got half a carport standing now. The Lysart boys were out here yesterday.
What?
So that's probably going to be sheeted today, I'd say. So I would be surprised if they complete that today.
Oh, my God.
And they've thrown in a cover up the ramp to the front door too, so if it's too hot or too wet, Henry can still get out the car and get inside.
Yeah, five painters from ADB yesterday, so they'll get close by the end of today as well.
Tell me if they're any good, mate, because I need a painter too. So we'll chisel away.
Oh, mate, I'm not lending a hand to you, Marto.
You're
doing this for Henry.
I'll
be paying
yourself.
Full freight. I just want a good painter, that's all.
Rog, how long do you reckon? How much more work is there to be done?
We'll be close by the end of next week. Well, we will be done by the end of next week. So,
typical builder. That'll be 3 weeks, hey, Rog? Right, eh?
cleaners are coming in next Thursday.
Oh, God. Well, that's when we'll be right, eh? We will be done.
Yeah. I'm looking so forward to seeing it all, Rog.
Yeah, no, it's looking good.
Well done, mate. Big raps to you. We'll keep on doing that too, mate. Keep on to them too, mate. Some of them took a bit long for Smoko the other day.
Oh, fair dinkum.
Right, I'll catch you later.
Henry, Rod, you're doing a wonderful job, as is everyone down there. You follow the progress on the Facebook page, Triple M Brisbane. Heaps of photos going up there too, and a little video of Henry as well saying thank you. That's the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M.
What a weekend in motorsports. The last round of the supercars, and it comes down to this. Between McLaughlin and Van Gisbergen, very similar to last year, and to sort it out properly, we've got the Fox Sports motor racing expert, Mark Scaife, with us. Hello, Scaifey.
Morning, guys.
Can you remind everyone what happened last year in this last round? It was so decisive.
Well, I can't because it'll take me too long, but basically it comes down to the wire with Wincup and McLaughlin last year. And on the Saturday, Wincup crashed, which meant that McLaughlin really, he had it all sewn up. If he just used
in the bag.
He made way too many mistakes. He got caught for pit lane speeding. He ran into Simona Di Silvestro. He got another drive-through for that. He crashed into Craig Lowndes and had a massive issue right near the end of the race, put him out of the race, and Wincup won the championship. So it was an extraordinary, you know, almost you couldn't write a script like that last year. And been shaping up similar because there's only 14 points between Wincup's teammate, young Shane Van Gisbergen, and Scott McLaughlin again this year.
So what's going to happen? What do you think? Who's going to win?
Well, how would you know? I mean, Van Gisbergen's form around street circuits. Newcastle, this is only the second time we've ever been to this racetrack, and it's a place that's very, very hard to get your brain around. It's really bumpy. It's unforgiving. It's a typical street race. So if you make a little mistake here, it has big repercussions.
Scaifey, the race is on in Newcastle. We've got a caller. We've spoken 2 days in a row now. You might have seen she's back in Australia, but Renee Lawrence has gone straight down to Newcastle. I believe you may have known her in the past.
Oh, really?
Go, Scaifey. It's Renee Lawrence.
There she is.
You probably see me on the telly and that. Yeah, I'm heading down to Newcastle to catch up with Maddie and Joey Johns, and just wondering whether we can tear around the circuit together. You know, just, I'll just jump in, whack the helmet on. What do you reckon?
You go your hardest, mate. You grab whatever car you like. Good luck.
Scafey, Renee made a claim to us yesterday when she returned from Bali that she was a grid girl for your old Nissan team back before she was in jail.
I love Scafey when he was in the Nissan Skyline.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crowd turned on him and I was like, bullshit, back off. Scafey's all right.
Yes.
You are lunatic, seriously.
I know.
Scafey, see you in Newcastle, champ.
Live and ad break free during racing this weekend on Fox Sports. Mark Scafe, thank you for playing along with our stupidity.
No problem.
Hang on, Marto. We've actually got an expert, someone who knows what's going on with crows, and that is Dr. Daryl Jones, who is an urban ecologist.
Whoa.
Now, this is a divine intervention. This is a message from above for you specifically. No, it does happen just occasionally. It's along the lines of the Maggie attacks, but it's much more specific. Magpies, as we now know, specifically know people, and most of the time the ones that attack pedestrians attacking just individuals. That's what we now know.
Really?
That seems to be what's going on with the crows. The crows aren't like the Maggies and attack, in some circumstances, they attack everybody that's going past. So I actually don't think there's any relationship between the magpie, what it was doing, and what the crow's doing. I think they're separate issues. These guys, for some whatever reason, think that, you know, you or whoever is a threat to the chicks, and it does happen. So it's actually fairly rare.
Just one other, I noticed when the magpies hit me, they hit the helmet with their beak and try to take your ear out and stuff, whereas this crow tried to go me with the talons, its claws.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Is that their method?
So that's just their preferred way to go. I'll tell you what is very unusual. I mean, there's plenty of swoops. I think, Marta, that this is the first time I've actually heard of a crow hitting somebody. There's plenty of swoops.
Talons hit my helmet.
Wow, that's okay. That's you're in a special category altogether.
Your patient's
doctor, I've seen crows very specifically rip open a bag of rubbish in a bin and then take something out of it. Maybe they just thought Marto was just absolute rubbish. What a rubbish human.
I won't go into that, but there's a possibility of that being the case.
If Marto goes back along that path again, will that crow remember him and attack again?
I think it's a scientific experiment worth doing. Try it. See what happens. It's usually what happens, at least with the magpies, and we're sort of drawing a long bow here. The magpies can distinguish between individuals, but they can't distinguish between individuals on bikes.
Will you do the scientific experiment for us? Will you
go back
in the
same
direction?
Get those talons
I'll go
scalp.
Along that street every day.
Because the crow will go, there's that
it's
piece
near
of
a
human
school.
Trash.
It's only
yes.
Here's rubbish
school.
Boy.
I got him.
I'm going to peck his head open and take an old can out of it.
Daryl, you are a champion. Dr. Daryl Jones, urban ecologist. You've been very helpful. We'll speak again soon.
Thank
you.
Yeah, how much I love Bunnings.
Oh, yes, you do love Bunnings.
What
you
do
are
I
a
own?
Bunnings guy. What do you own?
Yeah.
Oh, you own a Bunnings apron.
All right.
We tried to get him one and then some random person sent it in. So
what a thing. I put it in the car yesterday because I was going to Bunnings and I thought in my mind it'll be funny, and then I gutlessed out at the last minute.
People
I thought,
will
I
ask you stuff.
Yeah. But, well, no, I just thought I might get accused of something. Anyway.
I want you to go just and impersonate a Bunnings person for a weekend.
Mm. All right, I'll film it when
just
I do it.
Just give people the wrong aisle too.
Excuse me, where
are brooms?
Do you
see the wood supply out the back? Yeah. Just go behind that.
You'd be done for fraud. No, can you imagine that going to court?
What did they get you for?
Fraud for Bunnings
impersonating. What's wrong?
But not for personal gain.
No.
Just like for enjoyment.
Well, undercover boss, you know, when they go in and they see what their employees are doing. Although you have
undercover
no affiliation.
Marta. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah. You don't work here, mate. Yes, I'm actually the managing director of the
whole
company, mate.
Yeah. Just,
but they're eating a sausage from the sausage sizzle and giving directions.
All right, let's push on because I walked to the sausage sizzle. So I didn't put my apron on. It sat there in the front seat. I thought, you're a dick. Don't put it on. So I went to the sausage sizzle. All right, and I just got a softie. And I
onions on the top.
I asked them about the onions.
You got a softie at the sausage sizzle.
All right,
he's going all out.
Wow! I bought a softie.
Too much detail.
Which Bunnings is this?
I bought a. It wasn't a very exciting sausage sizzle,
wasn't it?
Oh, good lord!
He's done. started this.
All right.
Which Bunnings was it, by the way?
Stafford
Bunnings. Right.
You're standing there with your softie.
Original and the best. So I got my softie and then I made, oh, I don't even want to go on anymore. And I made it crack to them about the young ends. And these are 80-year-old women from the Toombul Croquet Club, I think.
Aww,
it was.
All right, bless.
So you're having
money.
A crack.
Yeah, well, I had a crack about the youngins and stuff, and they said, no, we've got to put the youngins on the bottom. And then I said, listen, I'm not going inside the store. I won't slip over. And they just went, you're not funny like the other 1,000 people that have made you're not funny like the other 1,000 people that have made onion jokes today.
Uh-huh.
Then I headed into the store with my softie. Mm. And
he was going all out this trip.
Yeah. And then things started to really change.
I wish I never talked about this, but all I wanted to tell you was, on my list, I need 3 pieces of grass, okay? You know how I love buying pieces of grass, all right? I needed 3 to finish off a job.
You can buy grass at your Bunnings.
Oh, God, yeah, this is getting worse. You get a softie and buy some grass, okay? That's what happened.
Out of context, this conversation would be off the
chart. Stay with me here.
I'm with you, brother.
Okay, sorry.
All right.
We're back live.
So that's all I had written on my hand. I needed 3 pieces of grass. There was a small patch I had to fix up at a job and a hose fitting to hose the water because I didn't have a hose fitting. That's all I wanted.
Okay.
How much is that? That'll be
go into a Bunnings store.
$287.
Yeah, you could not go into a Bunnings store
without
something.
You've got to always come out with a spare power board, don't you?
You know, what's the time of year? I've never been this guy before. I became the crazy light guy. I've
got Christmas lights.
Christmas lights, and now they're all solar. I bought a laser one. You should see what it does at home. So I bought a laser one, and I bought all these strings of lights. All of it's solar. You don't know, because in previous years I've had to find
it. Wire it.
I have become the craziest light guy. You should get down there.
Your house is going to end up covered in lights all year round now. You're going to be that guy too. Once you put them up, you can't take them down.
Oh, no, I will never take them down. I don't want to.
That's me from my birthday.
Year-round Christmas guy. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. It makes me smile.
Oh,
I looked out last night. I just went, oh, my God, this is fabulous. My house is that house. But what I do want to talk about, it's one of the greats, is when did you look to buy just that little something and you got something that was on a much grander scale? One day we asked this question, there was someone dead set, went to buy some milk and bought a house.
Okay.
At 6:43, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, all thanks to Team Moto Motorcycles, top of 30 and sunny. The Moon Man's hit the street for street talk, ran into some very big celebrities in Fortitude Valley. Get to that after 7. 133353. You've had a Barney Rubble.
I can't even remember what I was talking about now. You guys interrupted me so much.
You find it very difficult to walk out of Bunnings with... You ST Ruggle, as Brendo would say.
I went in there to spend $18 on two different items, and I walked out. I needed one of those big boxes you get there near the checkout with all my lights, and then I forgot everything. I didn't even go to the job in the end.
No.
I didn't even buy my pieces of grass. I just got my lights and went home. I got to get these.
Were you just mumbling? Were you mumbling to yourself like one of those?
Oh, there's some limping. There's some limping dribblers hanging around the
Christmas lights. I've got me lights. Going home. Got me lights.
I'm now one of those.
You are a limping dribbler. No problem. John of Caboolture, what did you walk in with and walk out with? That was much better.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I had a Subaru Outback a few years ago, and I had a problem with the rear window washer, snuck up the Yandan there to the Subaru dealer, and while I was waiting for the spare part, I was noticing a beautiful little WRX out there. I ended up driving away with a new car instead of a new wash mode.
Oh, that's magnificent. Oh, how'd the missus go?
She was pretty happy, actually. She liked them.
There you go.
Have the big pipe on the back.
It did, actually, and I got pulled up by the coppers.
Thank you, John. Good. Sandy of Stafford Heights, what did you go in to buy and walk it out with something much better? What was it?
We walked in to have a brunch, a hot dog and a cup of coffee at this Hot Rod Cafe that we'd seen outside Gympie, and we walked out with a $20,000 motorbike. Mm.
Wow.
My husband is into motorbikes and he'd been looking for this particular bike for about 5 years.
Hey.
We walked in and it was just sitting there with a for sale sign on it. So my hot dog cost me $20,000.
Now, are you into bikes, Sandy? Can you remember what it was?
It's a Benelli. It's a six-cylinder. He collects six-cylinder motorbikes. And this made the set. He's got 3 of them now. So he's happy. And it was my birthday weekend.
Oh, bought it for you, Sandy.
I've got this for you.
Yeah.
Apparently. Yeah.
Sandy, can I ask something unrelated? Do you ride around as a pillion passenger?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
God, that's ultimate trust whenever I see a chick with a bloke on the back. Is that not the ultimate trust?
Romantic.
You reckon it's romantic?
Well, it was when we started. I mean, my husband's 62 now, I'm 59, yeah. So we've been doing it for a long time. I've got a lot of trust.
When you got your arms around him, did you give him a bit of a tickle occasionally?
Hold on.
Occasionally, and occasionally gets a thump in the ribs if he's going too fast. Hey,
good.
Great story. Thanks, Sandy.
Breakfast, Sandy. Brisbane Triple M.
People, when they get married, go straight away on a honeymoon, but because of the way that my life works with radio, I'm waiting till our big Christmas break, which is coming up in 2 weeks' time, and then we're going away as a family. So,
This was your honeymoon. Well, I thought you'd just chosen to spend it with us.
Hanging out here.
No,
cool honeymoon.
Actually.
It's G'day, Robin.
Isn't at all.
Anyone else?
G'day, Robin.
That?
We're on a honeymoon.
Wake up.
What are we going to do now?
I go to bed with Sean and wake up with you lot. Great.
Oh, sorry.
All in the one bed, the big breakfast bed.
Anyway, I just want to talk about the fact that in the last week.
I hope so.
I hope so. Those aren't pillows.
Have you finished?
Hold on, one more. What other person goes on a honeymoon with all the... Does that happen for you? I suppose probably does happen these days, go on a honeymoon with your kids.
I know, we're taking 9 people away on
our
honeymoon to America.
You're supposed to make them on your holidays, not take them with you. Anyway,
okay, we're old. This is what old people do. But I just wanted to explain to you that in the last week, some fairly significant things have changed in our life.
Oh.
So the first change in 1 week, and I've really noticed it, the first change is our language. It was so exciting. We have an air conditioning guy called Arthur who's coming to our house right now.
Artie.
And I spoke to him
yesterday. Does Arthur know that your dog's a man-eater?
He's not a man-eater. And yes, you heard me just speaking to him say, don't worry about the dog.
You're one of those people who says the dog won't attack you. Well, it doesn't attack you because you feed it. It'll attack Arthur if you're in hospital. Get better soon, mate.
Anyway, Arthur was the first person that I actually got to say, rather than my partner Sean's at home, I got to say, my husband.
Oh, your hubby.
It was so cool. I had a little giggle and he thought I was a bit weird. But
do you know where your marriage certificate is? I found mine 4 years. It was in a mate's glove box when he went to sell his ute. He was my best man.
Why doesn't that surprise
me? He was supposed
me?
To look after it, and he did. But when he went to sell the car, he was emptying out the glove box. He said, do you need this? I said, we were looking for that because Kath wanted to change her name.
Oh, that's funny.
Good Lord. So who's got that?
Actually, I don't know.
Exactly.
I better find that.
Yeah.
The kids also, for the first time, because it was in the papers, I think a lot of people know that, you know, obviously that we've got married. So I actually heard one of them say for the first time, my stepdad.
Sure. Oh,
it's really cool.
Evil in front
of
it.
So when you say when you say the language is changing, you're not calling one another dickhead.
No, I just mean that. I just mean that the way we're referring to each other has changed.
Nice.
The other thing that happened, because Sean's got 2 older children.
Did you get the bar bill from Moon and I?
Yeah.
Has that arrived yet?
It was all part. That's I knew what language. You guys were like. I just warned them about table 20.
Just free pour into my mouth.
Yeah,
please,
and they did. And you took it.
Sorry.
The other thing that's changed is the family dynamic. So Sean has got older kids. His son Jamie's 22 and his daughter Ellie is 25.
Lovely.
And I've got 14, 16 and 18. And on the Monday night before they went home, we had this kind of big family meeting and I was trying to wax lyrical about how we're this new big family and it's so lovely and we're going to, you know, really get together and we're going to enjoy the holiday. And I could see them all completely glazing over.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to Sean, do you think they got it? Anyway, about 3 minutes later, I see my 16-year-old walk up behind Jamie, flick him in the ear, Jamie got him in a headlock. Sean goes, they got it.
Oh. They got it, Now all you kids in the bath.
No, you weirdo. What? And the final thing that's changed, which is actually kind of cool but not really because it was based at me, is our insults. So, you know, my 14-year-old delivered this amazing speech at the wedding.
Yeah,
he wrote a letter.
Great.
The boys wrote a letter to Sean and Pipes, my youngest, got to deliver it.
Fantastic delivery too.
The only one of your three children who can read. Yes.
Anyway, in that, they each wrote points about Sean and what they felt about him. And Pipe's thing was that Sean is definitely the yes man. I'm the no woman and Sean's the yes man. Well, we had a bit of an argument and he got really cross with me, like really angry. And I saw him storm out because I'd said no to something. And I saw him storm out of the room, storm up the stairs, try and find Sean and turn to him and said, I got lumbered with her. But you chose her. Oh, can you go and sort her out?
What a great go and sort her out.
That is good.
That's magic
stuff. The Big Breakfast, Triple M.
I think this breakfast show actually had a world exclusive yesterday. I mean, everyone was trying to talk to Renee Lawrence when she landed in Brisbane. There was a massive media scrum to try and get this woman to actually speak after her 14 years in a Bali jail.
Did you see the vision on the news when she got to, I think it was when she got to Newcastle Airport after flying from Brisbane, Newcastle, when she actually pushed through like a rugby second rower through the media and knocked a cameraman over? It's beautiful stuff from the beautiful young girl.
But the only people that she spoke to was us, and we did that yesterday. So then last night on the news, they finished with this.
Tonight she's home at Wall's End, ready to start her life all over again.
Just a 41-year-old girl living at home on her with her mum. She didn't need a cat or two.
Well, we wanted to find out how she's going, so we've got her back on the line, I think. Hello, Renee, you there?
We have patched a line to Newcastle's Triple M, so we're going to bring her up there.
Is she going into their studio?
Oh, no, she's going to join us on the phone now. My goodness, make up your mind.
Hello, Renee, what are you doing?
Renee.
Okay, I was just hanging out at my mum's place down in Newcastle, and I'm loving it, loving the freedom. Actually, I went to grab the bars to have a look out the window, and pushed one of the sliding windows out in the rumpus room. So, just getting used to freedom.
Will you be going to the supercars down in Newcastle this weekend? This is the last event,
No, I want to catch up with Scafie. I was a massive fan of Scafie when he drove with Nissan. I love that Nissan Skyline. And maybe I can be a grid girl down there too. Oh, I can wave a flag. They still have grid girls, or has that changed since I've been in prison?
No, they still have just attractive ones like you. That's about it.
So Renee, what did you eat last night? Like your first kind of night of freedom at home with your family?
I am in Imurubu Talalu Mahal. I mean chicken. sometimes I just slip into Indonesian. I've been speaking for 13 years. Barapa Harganya, that means how much is this?
You must be missing your Indonesian girlfriend, eh? First night away from her.
Yes, Wayang Kulit Bintang. We are very close. Of course, she's the heiress to the Bintang fortune. So we're thinking about getting married. And of course, same-sex marriage is now legal in Australia, so I'll be bringing her down and we'll have a lovely kind of dust ceremony in the Barossa Valley.
That's beautiful.
She is in jail.
Did you celebrate though, Renee? Because I know you wanted to sort of hang out with Matty Johns, Joey Johns, you know, town legends. Yeah. Go out and celebrate
caught up with
them.
A lot of the Knights players last night. Had a big one.
Okay.
Smashed a few pots at the Criterion in Newcastle. And then, of course, I spent a lot of the night meditating because I am a Buddhist.
That was a powerful display you put on at the airport where you actually pushed a couple of cameramen over. That was incredible.
Well, I want to either play AFLW or NRLW, so I was just auditioning. I was actually just, you know, going to try and open somebody's eyebrow up, lift an elbow, and bang. I've got a lot of anger and rage. I mean, I would, if someone offers me a satay stick, I will go bananas.
Okay, you've had enough.
Well,
can I just check the police? There may be some charges hanging over your head from, you know, 15 years ago. Have police made any inquiries? Have they tried to come around and see you?
I've heard that this might be a possibility. I mean, yeah, come on, I've been in the coolie for 13 years. Yeah. Give a girl a break.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get a hold of using mascara and lipstick again and trying to just live the life of a beautiful young lady in Newcastle. And maybe, you know, if they want to come calling Playboy or Penthouse, do a lovely spread.
Don't wait by the phone. Hey, Renee, we know you
I was waiting by the phone. You guys took forever to call.
Certainly don't. Yes, I'm so sorry. I know you have a bigger version of the media, so it's incredible you've made time for us the last couple of days.
Well, I love the Big Breakfast, especially the Moon Man.
He's a good-looking man.
Yeah.
If you had a choice.
I might jump the fence at him.
Moon or Scafie.
Thank you, Renee. It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M. I think we know the answer.